On November 30, 2022, Sam Altman's OpenAI company released ChatGPT to the general public for the first time. Within 5 days, it had over a million active users, and within 2 months, it had topped 100 million users, making it the fastest-growing consumer application in history. We've all heard of this artificial intelligence, AI, but what is this new technology? Is it good? Is it bad? Should we use it? Should we stay away from it? And then most importantly, does it affect the church? And does it affect our spiritual lives and our eternal destiny? I think that's the big question that we need to ask ourselves, and we should have been asking ourselves throughout any advancement in technology over time and invention and changes in history. Does it affect the church and our eternal destination? So first of all, AI or artificial intelligence is really not a new technology. We have only been hearing about it more recently. As early as the 1950s, artificial intelligent machines were playing the world's best chess players and beating them at games. And so scientists have been intrigued by this idea of artificial intelligence for many decades, and only recently has it become kind of popular on the consumer level because it's only recently become more widely available and easily used by the general public. So what is artificial intelligence anyway? Humans have been fascinated with God's creation for a long, long time. And you always hear different things occasionally where, like, they're studying birds to see if they can make airplanes better, and they're studying fish to see if we could do whatever. And they're always trying to, like, replicate what God created. And the human brain is no exception to that, and men have been fascinated with it for many, many years. And they got to thinking, like, if I could make a machine that thought like a man, like, could I do things better and easier and get more things accomplished? And so this whole idea of artificial intelligence really originated with people saying, how can we make a machine that thinks kind of like a man, where I can let it do something and it can make decisions for itself? And so scientists have spent decades trying to build a computer that can think like a human by taking information in, processing it, coming to a conclusion, and then acting upon that. And it started with very focused kind of machines like chess players, where you feed it and train it on a very specific set of information, how to play chess, how to play it well, and then how to predict what the human might be doing next and make your moves based on that. And the benefit of a machine like this is that it can think many more times quickly than you can. And so a chess-playing artificial intelligent machine can, like, think many, many moves ahead of you and look at all the possible combinations and say, well, if he goes here, then I can go here, and if he goes there, I can go here. And we as humans can do a certain amount of that before our brains explode and we just, like, can't comprehend and plan ahead far enough. So artificial intelligence, what is it and how does it affect us, and does it affect the church and our eternal destiny? New inventions happen all the time. We're familiar with them. You know, the sewing machine revolutionized the clothing industry. It was suddenly we were able to make clothing quicker and cheaper and faster. And the air nailer probably revolutionized the carpenter's job by suddenly making it easier for him to put nails into wood. So we're familiar with new inventions making our life easier and better. And so is AI just another one of those inventions that's going to make our life simpler and easier and we will go on with our life? Some of us have, in the last 3 years, been fascinated by the whole artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, Grok, whatever platform you want, movement, and we've used it, and we're like mesmerized by its ability to spit out seemingly very intelligent answers to our questions. And then some of us have looked at the whole thing and said, I don't know, it's very mysterious. Like, how is that possible that a computer can, like, can a computer really think better than the smartest person that programmed it? And so some of us have looked at it skeptically and said, I just don't know, like, maybe the devil himself is behind all of this. And so this morning I would like to take a little bit of time to talk about how I think, in a few ways, AI and artificial intelligence could affect the church and our spiritual destination. And I think I want you to think big picture with me this morning, because the things I want to talk about are not going to affect our lives tomorrow. Very unlikely. In fact, some of us sitting here will probably not see the effects of these things in our lifetime. And we really need to think big picture and long term. And us as parents need to think about our children and their children. And you as grandparents need to think about your grandchildren and stuff like that. And so think big picture with me this morning. Think long term. Some of us, like I said, have looked at AI very skeptically. And I think that's because it's very kind of mysterious. Like, how is it possible for a computer to think like a human, and we ask it a question and it gives us an answer? We're used to, you know, we can type a question into Google and we get a list of results back because Google looks at the question and it goes out and finds where that question might be on the internet, and it returns a list of results. And then we take those results and we open them, we click through them, and we read the content of the page, and then we make a decision from there about our question. We come to our own conclusion and we develop an answer to our question. And AI is now taking that process, and I can ask a question, it goes out and it finds the answer and it gives me the answer back. It does that thinking for me instead of me having to do it. And for some of us, the mystery of that is causing us to say, I don't know what this is, and is it good? And I had to think, like, most of us, when we get our phones and we dial a phone number and we call somebody that's potentially thousands of miles away and they answer on the second ring, and we talk to them in real time, most of us don't understand exactly how that works as well. You know, it just works. But we've accepted it as science and not as just some magic that the devil is performing. And I think that artificial intelligence is a little bit the same way. Like, I know I've heard people say, well, the devil himself must be behind it. And I don't really think the devil himself is behind it, although the devil will get behind it because he can use it for a tool to his destruction, and we're going to look at that in a little bit. But the men who invented artificial intelligence weren't out to say, how can we destroy the world, or how can we destroy the church? They were really just trying to say, how can we make a machine that will do things better and easier that we, you know, for us, so that we don't have to work as hard, we don't have to think as hard, we can get information quicker. And so I think we have to keep that in context. Artificial intelligence is just a new invention. And I want you to hear me out here before you jump to too many conclusions. artificial intelligence is just a new invention, and it is a tool that was created by people to make our lives easier. However, I want us to think about some of the potential downsides to this tool. Think about this. My daughter Madison has a birthday today, and she is one. And so, how many of you agree with me that the perfect gift for a one-year-old girl would be a good quality set of kitchen knives? It's practical, you know. Why not?
Her second birthday might look different.
Yeah, there potentially wouldn't be a second birthday. Right? Because she doesn't know how to use them yet. She doesn't know how to handle them carefully. She hasn't learned that. And she's not ready for it. I could give her a knife and I could say, hold the handle, keep it pointed away from you, only chop peppers and onions with it. But she's not ready for that yet. She doesn't understand it. And she may throw it at something. She may try to run with it. And it could go wrong. It could go badly. And people could get hurt or worse. So we don't give a kitchen knife to a one-year-old because they're not ready for it. Does that mean that knives are bad? No. No, a knife in itself is not evil. It has the potential to do a lot of evil. And I think that the artificial intelligence, the AI revolution, as I'm going to call it, we have to think about it as a knife. Right? It was invented as something that is supposed to be a tool for us to make our lives easier. But we have to treat it as a knife. And if we don't treat it as a knife and learn to handle it carefully and use it wisely, it will become a tool for destruction. And I think it carries that real potential. So I would like to talk about three things this morning. Three ways that I think that we as a church and we as parents should sit up and pay attention to as we think about the world of artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is not going away anytime soon. In fact, it's just going to, you're going to see more and more and more of it. And it's going to surface in the weirdest ways. I mean, our coffee machine at work now has AI in it. And I think that is a marketing gimmick, but that's my opinion. But it's not going away. We're going to see more and more of it. So I think we need to sit up and pay attention. I also think that I'm going to bundle kind of a few other things right into my talk here. I think that the internet in general, the smartphone, and social media and AI all together are going to work together to cause the three dangers that I'm going to go over here. And I think that the internet and social media have already started us down a path that I'm a little bit nervous about for the future of the church. And again, I'm thinking long term here. So, three points I'd like to go over. The first danger that I see with artificial intelligence, and when I say AI, I again bundling social media and the internet and the smartphone right into all of this. So point number one is mental deterioration. And I'm going to quote a paragraph from an article I read recently about this. And this was people who are writing on the effects of artificial intelligence and what it could do to the human race. So let me read as written. The author said, as AI tools become more integrated with daily life, concerns are growing about their long-term effect on our psychological health and mental abilities. The very features that make AI so powerful, automation, instant access to information, and task optimization, also introduce risks when used without critical oversight. One of the most pressing concerns is the growing dependence on AI as a primary source of knowledge and decision-making, rather than acting as a supplement to human thinking. Many are using AI as a substitute to human thinking, which could lead to the erosion of skills and critical thinking. And I think this is important. And think with me a little bit about the GPS. We'll back up to a technology that we're all a little bit more familiar with, maybe. How many agree with me that the GPS made it easier for us to go places? Yeah, and we use it, I use it. Now, how many will also agree with me that using the GPS helps you to remember how to get places better? No. See, and this is interesting because when I tell my dad I'm going somewhere, he says, "Well, how are you going?" I don't know. I'm going to follow the GPS. I don't know. And then when I get to my Grandpa Hunter in Indiana, he says, "Hey, how did you come?" I don't know. I followed the GPS. And the reality is, if you sit down ahead of time and you look at a map and you think about, okay, I'm going to have to go here, I'm going to have to turn here and then here. And then if you don't have the GPS telling you turn right in 500 feet, but instead you have to actually watch the road signs and make sure you don't miss exit 122, you're going to put a lot more effort into getting where you're going. And if you put a lot more effort into getting where you're going, you're going to remember it a lot better. Right? Because if you actually had to sit down and think consciously on the map, I'm turning here, and then you had to actually think consciously as I'm driving along, okay, I'm at mile marker 98, I got to start paying attention. At mile marker 112, I got to start paying attention. Right? And if you actually have to put the time and effort into making sure you got it right, you're going to remember it a lot better. And I think that the internet and the smartphone and AI now is making information more readily available to us, quicker, faster, and easier. So with the traditional internet, if you wanted some information, you could Google, and it would give you a list of results. And like I said, those results, then you would take them and you'd have to read the content and you'd have to come to a conclusion and derive your answer from that. Well, with AI, where you ask it a question, it gives you the answer. It does go out and do all the thinking for you, and then it gives you just an answer. And what's happening is people are putting less effort into figuring things out, which means they're going to remember less. It seems counterintuitive. It seems like, well, I can now learn things quicker, better, faster, and so I can learn more things and learn them faster. But the opposite is true. The less time and effort you put into something, the more quickly you will forget it. So one of the dangers of artificial intelligence is mental deterioration, or is reducing our ability to think and to remember. And I would like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 is a verse that we're all familiar with. Timothy's saying, "Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Right? So Timothy's telling us, put some thought into it, study, and then divide the word of truth. Like, actually look at it and think about it. Okay, how does this apply to me? What is in it for me? What should I be learning from this? How can I change my life to better reflect what Jesus is asking me to do? All right, so Timothy's telling us to study, to put effort in, to reading the scriptures, discerning how they apply to our life. And I think that if we, as humans, if we're so used to instant information, be able to ask a question, get a quick answer, ask a question, get a quick answer, I think that the church is going to start to feel the effects of that, and we're not going to be able to study and rightly divide the word of truth. And like I said at the beginning, I don't think that this is something that we're going to start to notice right away, but I think we as parents need to sit up and pay attention and think about, okay, the future of the church and our children, like, where do we want them to be? We want them to be able to do what Timothy said. We want them to be able to study and rightly divide the word of truth. But what do we have to do to make sure that our children have the ability to study and rightly divide the word of truth? I feel like I'm moving along fairly quickly here. But I would like to highlight all three of my dangers here this morning and give you the big picture. So in a world of instant information, the potential for critical reasoning and the ability to remember things well is going away. And so think about that. So we, as Christians, think about the future of the church. Number two, the AI revolution brings with it the very real danger of misinformation. The very nature of AI or artificial intelligence sets it up to be a tool of misinformation. Some of us have used tools like ChatGPT, and we've asked it questions, and it's given us like completely bad answers. And we're like, whoa, how did it come up with that? Like, it's wrong. That's not even possible. And other times, we're like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it did a good job. And so it's not a human, and it can fail. And even as humans, we have the potential to give out misinformation. I do remember one time I was teaching school, and I had a visitor sitting in the back of my room, and I was teaching a science class that I was not very, like, I didn't understand it very well. This is one of my first years of teaching, and I said something that later I realized was not correct, and I was kind of embarrassed because I hope the person sitting in the back of the room didn't realize it. But anyway, you know, so even we as humans have the potential to give out misinformation or tell things that are not true. But the world of artificial intelligence has the potential to go really wrong, because we've all heard the saying that, well, I heard it on the internet, so it must be true. And we say that because we know that there's a lot of fake information on the internet. There's a lot of false information on the internet already. And artificial intelligent bots like ChatGPT have been trained on the internet. And so the very information that they're learning on is got a lot of false stuff in it. And so the potential for artificial intelligence to start giving us wrong information is very high. And there's also the very real danger that the few men that are behind it, or powerful political figures, could start to say, you know what, when they ask a certain question, can you just kind of sway the answer a certain direction? That's not, you know, uncommon. That is a possibility that we could start to use artificial intelligence to sway a group of people in a specific direction by feeding answers back that are leaning in a certain direction. And I think that's important for us as a church and as Christians to pay attention to. I'm very, like, careful about using the internet when I study for a sermon. I used the internet to learn the facts about ChatGPT and some of those things for my introduction, but like, I'm very careful about Googling, like, you know, what are some Bible verses that relate to artificial intelligence? Like, I'm very hesitant about that because there's a lot of false information out there, and if I'm not careful and I just kind of rely on the internet and stuff too much to give me the answers that I need as I'm studying the scriptures, I'm setting myself up to be bringing false information into my studies. And I think that, I could have put into a ChatGPT, for example, and just said, hey, give me a sermon outline for the dangers of artificial intelligence, and it would have done it. I didn't, because I'm a little nervous that if we start to use these kinds of tools in the church and in our studying of the scriptures and as we try to divide the word of truth, that we're setting ourselves up for misinformation if we're not careful, and we're setting ourselves up to be filled with maybe not always false doctrine, but sometimes if the answer is leaning a particular direction and we're not careful, we're setting ourselves up to be misinformed. One of the engineers from the University at Virginia Tech said this, and I'm going to read the paragraph. She said, "Perhaps the scariest of all is the very real potential for AI joining with existing web data mining counterparts to mislead and misinform the next generation. AI, like people, can now speak with authority so much that we are comforted in its accuracy. How do we as a species distinguish fact from fiction when both are presented so similarly? And how do we as a species prevent even more polarization than what currently exists due to AI tools giving users what they prefer politically, technologically, and in advertisements? AI as a propaganda engine is dangerous, and we are already beginning to witness its effects." And I'm going to focus on the first part of that paragraph where she said, the scariest part of all is the very real potential for AI joining with existing web data mining counterparts to mislead and misinform the next generation. Notice that, okay? Because most of us sitting here are probably not going to be led astray by ChatGPT's random answers that are incorrect. And we've spent enough of our life rightly dividing the word of truth and sitting down and studying the scriptures that we know and we'll be able to read through the answers that it gets back. But if we're not careful, the next generation that's grown up with these tools, if they have not learned to rightly divide the word of truth, and if they have been trained on easy information, easy answers, I don't have to think for it, AI does the thinking for me, and they're not used to thinking critically about what is truth and what is false, what is this line up with what Jesus is saying or does it not, they're setting themselves up to be misinformed and to be led astray by false prophets. And sorry, I have a lot to say, and we don't have all day. But mental deterioration, the potential for misinformation, or being misled by false teaching. See, again, we don't give a one-year-old a knife because they're not ready for it yet, because they don't know how to handle it. The knife itself is not evil, but it has the potential to be used for evil and to do a lot of harm. And I think that we need to think about the internet, the smartphone, social media, and AI. and think about it as a knife. What is it doing, and how will it affect our children? I'm going to go on to point number three, the potential loss of human connection. And this is a big one for the church as well. And I'm going to quote from another author or engineer from the University of Virginia Tech on this point. And they said this, I quote, "One of the deeper concerns surrounding human-AI interaction is the potential erosion of genuine human connection. As we begin to converse more often with AI, naturally there is a question over the authenticity of our interactions. Will we, over time, prefer the consistent and tailored responses of an AI machine over the unpredictable, messy, spontaneous, but genuine nature of human conversation?" And most of us probably aren't here. Hopefully none of us are at this point yet. But already in the less than 3 years that artificial intelligent bots have been released to the general public, there are people using AI chatbots as counselors rather than going to human counselors. It's easier because the AI chatbot will always remember everything you told it. It doesn't forget, and it can learn to know how to respond the way you like it to respond. We as humans, we sometimes say things and we forget the context, or we forget things. We're not perfect. And I think that one of the things we as a church need to pay attention to is, and I think social media has done some of this already, where we've become a little bit more individualistic and less of a church community. And I think it's important that we pay attention to that, because artificial intelligence only has the potential to amplify that need of us getting together as a church body. And I would like to turn to Luke chapter 4. Let's go there. Luke 4 and verse 14. This was just after Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. And then verse 14, it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." And I'll stop reading there. But notice, what was Jesus' habit? It was going to the synagogue. And his maybe goal there was evangelistic. But it was a habit for him to go to the synagogue, to gather with the Christians of the day. And I think that's something for us to pay attention to. Jesus focused on being with people. And Acts chapter 2 was right after the day of Pentecost. Peter stood up. I'll maybe turn to that. Peter stood up and preached his Pentecost sermon. And then starting in verse 38, it's interesting to read what it says there. Acts 2. Starting at verse 38. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." I think I started too soon. Okay, let me start at verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and every man had as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." So the focus that I want to bring out there is that they were together. It says daily, and they says they went house to house and stuff. So the early church spent time together. They recognized the value of that. Interacting with each other, encouraging each other, helping each other. They spent time together. And Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, he said, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So it's important that we as Christians get together, spend time together, teach each other, and help each other out. And I think that we need to pay attention to that, because social media has already eroded some of that, I think, and AI has the potential to erode that sense of community even more, because now I can just talk to a chatbot. I don't have to talk to an actual human being. And so it feels very like futuristic that that would be a problem in our church, and I hope that it is. But I want us to pay attention to that and think about it. I'm going to wrap it up here. So in summary, I think that AI and the internet presents some real dangers to today's church. And I think that these dangers are not sudden but subtle changes. And I think that's why it's important that we sit up and pay attention to them. Because it's not going to happen overnight where suddenly we're not used to thinking on our own, or that we're filled with false doctrine, or that we don't want to get together as a church body. But I think we as parents need to think future, long term. What do we want for our children? What do we want the church to look like in 20 years from now? And let's think about the fact that the tools, the technology that's invented today, that's making our life easier and more convenient, has the very real potential to bring danger or harm to the church in the long run. And so think about your use of social media, the internet, and AI. And to be clear, I'm not opposed to AI as a tool. I use it at work. We use it fairly regularly. In the marketing world, it's a very big deal, because AI is good at writing. It's good at writing code. It's good at building websites. And so my very job is threatened by the invent of the artificial intelligence. So I'm not opposed to using it, but I want us to approach it as the same way we would approach giving a knife to a one-year-old. Like, are they ready for it? Are we ready for it? Are we ready for the AI revolution? Are our children ready for it? And what can we do so that as we handle tools like this, that we handle them well and carefully, and use them as a tool and not as a tool for destruction? Because granted, while if you type or ask ChatGPT a spiritual related question, it's going to give you probably a fairly accurate answer at the moment. We need to be careful, because that might change over time, and it might be slowly. So be intentional about the amount of time you spend with social media, your phone, AI chatbots. Don't assume that everything you read on the internet is true. And learn to think critically. Okay? Learn to think critically. Prioritize relationships, human-to-human relationships. And spend time with your children. Teach them the Bible. Because in a world where AI does our thinking for us, if we're not intentional, we will be deceived. We need to get together, pray together, study together as Christians, and we need to learn to think for ourselves, and we need to teach the next generation very intentionally. And I didn't get to it, but Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think you had it in last Sunday's Sunday school lesson, talks about that. Fathers teaching the next generation and passing on the faith. So we can either let AI and the internet destroy us spiritually over time, or we can allow it to grow, or we can grow closer to God by intentionally thinking, meditating on the scriptures, and getting together as a church body and teaching each other. God bless you.